Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Jason Reed, and with me, as always, is my co-host who always leads scandalous ass from her phone, Asia Welch. Asia, how are you doing?
That is false. I guarantee you. Look, I'm currently not on any dating apps, but I know that there are some on my phone.
Hold your phone up to the screen. Let me see.
Right now.
Yeah.
I did want to say, you know, I'm doing well, yes, but, you know, coming into this podcast, I noticed something. So, but I really don't want to clarify what it is right now, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, so you just going to put that out in front of all of our listeners and just have everybody wondering what you're talking about.
As my co-host, shouldn't even be a question.
You just try to be honest to yourself.
Oh, man. So ridiculous. You know,
this is 3 weeks in a row where we have to talk about this clown being a clown.
I almost thought we were I almost forgot that was a thing. For those of y'all here, we're talking about episode 11 of season 14. And like coming into it, you know, this is the 1 month anniversary. Right. And I thought, oh, we're in the clear. I kind of forgot that big blow up was coming.
And I didn't. Like, I didn't. I was watching each of their segments, and I was like, "This is all BS. It's all going to blow up soon." It's like I just was like, because it felt like they were putting seeds down. Mm-hmm. Like he would say something, and be like, "Okay, yeah, we'll see about that in about 30 minutes." Right.
So yes. I mean, yes, we are here for the third week in a row talking about this clown. And when will he no longer be a clown? I wonder.
I feel like it's ingrained in him and it will just never stop.
His clownish tendencies will not cease.
We keep saying, like, hopefully these experts can get through to him.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any getting through to Elijah. I just think Elijah One is going to be Elijah One.
Absolutely.
And he's going to need to find the person that can put up with that. Is Katina it? I'm not sure.
Right. But yes, we are here to talk about episode 11, season 14. And before we dive into those episodes, Jason, we want to shout out some awesome reviews.
Yes, we love our reviews. So if you guys love what we're doing, hit us up on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. We love to actually see the reviews laid out, not just the ratings. And also give us a rating on Spotify. Unfortunately, there's no written reviews there. But we love to check out the written reviews. We are both constantly checking our phones to see if there's a new review up. So just if you like what we're doing, hit us up, leave us a review. The review I want to highlight this week is from Wendy O 1121. It's titled Love It. It says, you guys do an amazing job. It's well produced and the format is great. I'm laughing along with you as I listen. And yeah, we definitely all hate Alyssa. I really look forward to your podcast each week. And it's definitely one of my favorites. Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Wendy O. That was a great review. I don't know if I say I hate Alyssa. I strongly dislike Alyssa. Right. I think we're all in agreement with at least that.
Yeah, I'm very excited and overjoyed that she's no longer on the screen. Yes. I will say that. The second review I want to highlight is from McKenna's mommy, obsessed with maths. She said, this is hands down my absolute favorite podcast. I listen to it while I'm at work, and it's the highlight of my week. I have been a math super fan since day one of the first season, and I'm so happy there's others who love it just as much. The conversations are spot on, and it makes me laugh out loud. Thank you for doing this, and please never, ever stop with exclamation marks.
We will never, ever, ever stop. Even if they try and take our show away from us, we will just talk about it all the time and somehow get it out to you. We will never right. stop.
I will be 60 years old talking about MAFS season. It would probably be 112 at this point with the rate that they push these out. We'll never stop.
We'll talk about MAFS. We'll talk about Unmatchables season like 43.
Right. They'll do all the spinoffs that they've kind of slowed down doing. They're going to bring them back and we'll talk about them. Right.
Yeah, we'll be here. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You will never, ever stop.
Yes. And if y'all are wondering how do I leave a review? Where can I leave a review? Subscribe to our Love at First Sight feed at robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed, or just search Love at First Sight wherever you get your podcasts. If you go and you leave us a review, we are doing something special at the end of the season for a random review, so that you can receive something special from us. So definitely go out there. Let us know what you think. Leave us a 5-star rating so that we can keep the content coming. So we know that y'all are enjoying it, because sometimes it just feels like we're talking into, you know, blank space. But if we know y'all are giving us feedback, if you're tweeting at us, you're leaving reviews, then we know y'all are enjoying this content.
I need to feel validated and appreciated, as as one of our masters talked about this episode.
Or else we're done.
We're done. We're done. We're giving 100%, and you people that aren't giving reviews are only giving 1%. You need to give us 100%. Like, we're giving you.
You're right.
All right.
Oh goodness.
So let's dive into these couples. We're going to tackle this first couple, who, to be honest, it probably was their best episode, I think. Really surprising. We're going to tackle Mark and Lindsay first.
I think that it's mainly because Mark has reached the point of, I'm just going to do what I need to do to get to decision day, and then I'm done.
Yeah, but it's maybe not. Barrett time for Mark.
Yeah.
So we start there. We get, you know, the all the vignettes of the couples before the episode actually starts. We have them in bed and they're messing with the cat. And it's like, I don't like this cat. I like your other two cats. And the cat takes his revenge by biting at Lindsay. So, yeah, that's we got the little cute vignette of them in the first. And then we get into the meat of their episode. And we get a selfie cam from Mark explaining that his job has asked him to not come back to work until filming is done. That's interesting. Do you think it was just like scheduling conflicts with the filming and his work? I don't recall them ever filming at his job, so I don't know if it would be something like they don't want cameras around or what.
Right. I feel like I remember on a previous season, someone coming out and saying like they had certain filming times for the day. And so maybe it was a situation where Mark was having to ask for certain like accommodations, like, hey, because I'm doing the show, we need to film from this time to this time. So can I come in early today so I can leave early? Like maybe it was a situation where he wasn't able to work his standard hours without asking for exceptions.
I mean, he sure does wear that gym shirts all the dang time. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if they were like, we'll let you come back, but you got to wear all of our merch all the time. Right. That's how we'll accommodate you. Mark's really hoping it doesn't cause, you know, any tension or issues with Lindsay. And, you know, he tells us, you know, she really never liked his job to begin with because of the hours and how far it is away and the pay. We kind of knew that part from Lindsay's Alley rant. So we get into the apartment where Mark and Lindsay are talking, and Lindsay, you know, is like, so what's the plan? What's going on? He says he wants to find a job right away. He wants to be in the fitness industry and he wants it Monday through Friday. So now she tells him she wants him to take time to find the right job rather than having a job just to have a job. And he doesn't really like that. He says he doesn't like not doing anything. Note to Steve. That he wants to work, and she responds, well, you know, you can work on getting to know me. So she also tells him, you know, pretty soon we're going to have kids and you're going to really wish that you had a week just to yourself. And I'm just thinking, you know, he probably at this point, he might enjoy just being at work just to kind of
get away
from her.
Yeah.
And, you know. And at some point, you would think if he doesn't have a job, like she would probably use it against him at some point in one of the arguments. Like, you can't even keep a job. So, you got to figure that's kind of what he's thinking a little bit.
Yeah, this did not have to turn into a back and forth. It could have just been a simple exchange of opinions about what he should do with work and him just saying, like, no, like, I would prefer to get a job. But she turned it into, she heard when he said, I want to get a job right now, she heard, I hate you. I don't want to spend any time with you ever. It's just like, what?
And then, like, to the kids thing, he's like, you know, kids are like really far away from me at this point. It's not, it's not even in his head. And I'm thinking, like, kind of like I think about Noi, like, let's see, he's 34 years old. Mm-hmm. How long are you planning on waiting there, Mark?
Right. You know why it's not in his head? Because he has no intention of going there.
He's like, yeah, we're not even gonna worry about that because it's not even an issue.
Let's not talk about things that are none of our concern at this moment.
Yeah. You know, he tells her, you know, everything has shifted so fast and everything's out of his control. And he just wants to go. He just wants to get to work. And so then it's that point where Lindsay kind of just turns it and makes it about her. And she's like, you know, everything you're saying and all these plans, you're only talking about yourself. Like, you're only thinking about what your plans are for you. You're not thinking about us. Then at confessional, she says, he's so overwhelmed. He doesn't have time to think. And or feel anything, and he's never had a partner there for him in hard times, but that's who she is. That's just, she's always there for somebody in their hard times, as she constantly tells us every time where she has to be talking about how much she's saving him,
which yes.
at a certain point is getting like really tiresome.
Yeah, it's so it's for that. So that's so annoying because her point didn't have to come off like this. Like, it could have been a reasonable thought, like, hey, it's all about the approach. All mm-hmm. she had to do was say, hey, there's rarely times in our adult life that we just don't have a job for people that have started their career, right?
Yeah.
Like, once you start a job, then you're thinking, okay, maybe, you know, I might get the next thing or whatever. There might be a short period of time between that. She could have just approached this to say, why don't we take this opportunity now, finish the eight weeks, and let's continue to just get to know each other better. See if this is something that we both want for the future and benefit from the fact that we'll get more time to do that. You know, nicer. Yeah,
Mark doesn't want that, though. Mark's like,
but yes, Mark doesn't want that because her approach is terrible.
Yeah.
It's like he already doesn't want it. But I feel like there was a compromise there because it's like, OK, well, then let's do a couple of weeks. What's 2 weeks going to hurt? Like, yes, we're going to work on you getting a job, but let's focus on us for a couple of weeks. But hers is, you don't, it's all about you. You want Mark and Mark. You think about Mark and Mark only. It's just like, Lindsay, that's not helping. He's never going to want to give any at all.
Yeah. And she tells me, you know, your plan's only about you and she can't be the only one trying to make it work. Like, that's not going to work. Now, I did note here that she's pretty calm throughout all of this. Like, she doesn't raise her voice. Even the argument they have here is rather like mild and mostly respectful. So I'm like, she's probably pretty sober right now. I think it's probably like right after work mm-hmm. where she hasn't had anything to drink yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame Mark for his response. Like, no, this is what I want. And she's always coming from a place of, I know what's best for you. And you need to listen to me and take that and move.
I am
forward.
Your lifestyle guru now. Listen to me.
Right. So I don't know. So, you know, I felt like she had a point to make if she had approached it the right way, said different words, but that's just not Lindsay's MO.
Yeah. So the next thing we get for Mark, at least, is Mark has invited a special guest, Chris, to help him shop for a anniversary gift for Lindsay. You know, I'm really glad we got the one side of the couple that we like, mm-hmm. Chris and Alyssa. So I was like, oh, hey, it's Chris. Right. Nice to see Chris again.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah. And so Mark talks about how, you know, he's really glad he met Chris. And he looks at Chris as like a friend from the first grade where he goes, so what do you want to do today? And the way that Mark talks is just so like, he sounds like a first grader. Like, when he talks about this type of stuff, like, hey, what do you want to do today, buddy?
Yeah.
He's such a kid.
Yeah. Best friend.
Yeah. They go into this interesting like shop. And Mark says the vibe of the shop, you know, reminds him of Lindsay's apartment. You know, it's like a very earthy, a lot of plants, you know, kind of like Mother Earth type of stuff.
Yeah.
It does kind of remind me of Lindsay's apartment with all that accoutrement in there. So they kind of settle on eco terrariums and they look at the different stones and the things they represent. One increases libido, and Mark says, nope, she's got it covered. They're in that department mm-hmm. for the libido.
She's good. She doesn't need more. I can't catch up to her. So
can't handle what she's already got.
Right.
Then one of them, you know, they has one that makes good decisions. And so they pick that one for sure. So in confessional, he says he hopes this the things that he's doing shows Lindsay that she's appreciated and that he's listening to the things she's saying and noting the things that she likes. yeah, he and Chris sit down. Chris asks him about, you know, how he's feeling. He says, well, you know, it's an interesting situation. He talks about all the different things they've gone through. They flash back to the bowling. He says, after the bowling, they just got home. They didn't even argue. They just both went to bed. The next day was awkward, but she actually eventually apologized and said that she was triggered, you know, about things from her past. And that's why she, you know, acted out. And that's why she was so defensive.
Yeah, I was glad she brought this up because, you know, it helps in all these situations. Like, we talk about it with Jasmina and Michael a lot of, like, her understanding his past a little bit better helps her understand him better, which could be the, if she shared more of her past, it would help him understand her as well. And, like, with Lindsay, it's just, she's always on 10 or she's always on 1,000. And so Mark has no room for understanding because it's just like, we see all the time. He's so speechless. Like,
yeah, he's always shell-shocked by the things that she does.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting feeling that I got from this episode because here and a little later, he talks about things about her past, which I don't think we've really touched on camera.
Right.
But I think it's something that she's telling him off camera that's giving him more of these feelings and these insights into her.
Yeah, because they touched on it at the wedding about how her mom, that she doesn't have a good relationship with her mom, but we haven't like dived deeper into that since then. And it seems like that could be having a bigger impact on how she handles relationships.
For sure.
But they haven't talked about it.
Yep. And Mark explains to Chris that, you know, he doesn't feel like he's in love with her. And she's actually told him the same thing, that, you know, she's not in love with him. Even though she said on the honeymoon that she was falling in love with him, but a lot has changed since then, I guess.
Right.
So, you know, he talks about how, you know, she has said to me multiple times that she is done. She said it through text. She said it, you know, out loud to me. And he remarks that, you know, if I said something like that, she would have, you know, gone off the deep end talking about I was done, and she would have really overreacted, which I thought was a really good point.
Yes.
Definitely true that she would have been like, oh, you're done? And then she just would have yelled and screamed at him, but she says it and he's not supposed to react like that.
Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where I wonder if watching back now, she can see a side of herself that she's not realizing how she comes off. Because it's very clear. She can't read a room, right? We know this. She also cannot read how she's coming off to other people. And so for her, her intentions are good. So whatever I'm doing, I'm a lot, you know, take me, I'm a lot. But she doesn't realize, okay, you may be a lot, but you have to look at what he needs and how he's handling how much you are a lot to him. She just thinks it's fine because her intentions are good.
From her reactions on like the different after parties I've seen her on, I don't think she gets it, or like she's just like, yep. Like she'll watch a clip that has her acting like a jackass. She'll like, yeah, well, I was feeling this, and this, and I told him what I was feeling. And
yeah.
She's just like, yeah, nothing really seems to sink in that way.
Maybe I try not to read too deep into it, but then I can't help it of like wondering if they're still together when I watch the after party. So it's just like, okay, maybe if they were still together, she would be a little bit more, she would be a little bit more, not apologetic, but there would be some growth happening. But if it's like they're not together, then it's like, okay, what does it matter that I acted that way? I stand by it.
I feel like those two, Mark and Lindsay, I feel like they're the worst actors on After Party. And I do feel like they're not together, like from based on the things I see on After Party, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm starting to need a line. So Mark says that, you know, he wants Lindsay to feel appreciated on the honeymoon, but he doesn't want to take it any further than that. Basically, he doesn't want to get her hopes up, make her feel like, you know, there's something there that's not
right.
And you know, he says he has to be true to himself,
you wouldn't be feeling that way with a spouse that you're feeling.
Exactly.
Not just like, but that you're feeling, you know.
I want you to feel appreciated, but I don't want you to feel that I love you or anything.
Right. Don't get it twisted,
because it ain't that. Right. So the next time we get with them is them on the way to Mark's surprise camping trip that he's got for her. He tells her, you know, this whole thing is for you. There's nothing for me because there's nothing I want to do. So, you know, she's pretty excited about where she, you know, doesn't know where she's going. She's excited. She tries to find out in a little navigation system in the car. He's like batting her hand away to try to get her not to see where they're going. So, you know, she says it's nice that he's doing something for her and she finds it important that someone is paying attention and makes her feel appreciated and cares for her, and hopes that's what Mark is doing for her. She remarks, so she, this isn't any like hippie sound bath stuff, is it? Like, okay. do you know what that is? I have no idea what that is.
No idea.
No idea. I can only imagine. Right. So, you know, on the way in, he tells her what they're going to be doing, and she's pretty excited. And she, you know, she says it's important that she feels appreciated, and that Mark wants to give her a day that's all about her. She says they get there, they look around. She says, this is exactly how I want to spend my anniversary.
Yes.
They start a fire, and Mark, I think, may have seen too much Survivor, and starts blowing on the fire, trying to make the fire rage even more. He's just constantly blowing on it. I mean, we both have watched a lot of Survivor.
Yes.
And that's not exactly the way you're supposed to do it from what we've seen, I think.
It's like, that's to get the flame going, to kind of get it breathing a little bit. But well, yeah, he was down blowing there. It when it was like, it was lit.
Well, even then, you're supposed to like get down there, like really get in there and blow into it.
Yeah.
He's blowing on it like it's a candle. Like, yeah. It's not doing anything, my guy.
Oh, she couldn't stop laughing at him.
Yeah, she was having a blast with that.
Yeah.
So then we get to a point where they're cooking a little pizza on the little brick oven or whatever outside. They're messing up the dough. It's a fun little activity. So he says that she has some surprises for her. He gives her the Echo Terrarium that he got, and he explains all the crystals, right? One's for making decisions regarding his negativity, and a laughter stone that helps to ward off the evil eye, which they really need.
Yes. There was also one for like increasing self-esteem.
Yeah.
I liked the look in his eyes of how proud he was at the selection of these stones.
He was really patting himself on the back.
Yeah. But I think he hit the nail on the head. Like, his goal was to make her feel appreciated, or to show her that he appreciates her and show her that he listens, which he did. He
got
it. I feel like he accomplished that.
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
So he asked her if, you know, she thought 2 weeks ago that, you know, she'd see, you know, see herself enjoying the time with him like, you know, like she is today. He says, yeah, and they shifted gears, understood each other, and stopped trying to defend themselves or rationalize their own behavior. And he says that as time has gone on, he's tried to learn how she ticks, and he got to understand her more, and now they argue less and laugh more. I mean, I feel like, didn't just last week we see them argue? Like, how far have they come in just like less than a week's time?
They argued last week, they're going to argue next week. Like, right. I don't understand. But I guess to them, like, a few days without an argument feels like a lifetime. So, like, we are headed in the right direction.
Yeah. So later we get a peek into the teepee. They go into like, it's kind of like a teepee type of structure. They look in their anniversary basket that all the couples get. They take a look at their wedding photos. We get some flashbacks of them taking the photos. They watch their wedding video, which makes it just a big flashback montage of their wedding.
Yes.
So he says, they've grown so much since then, in my notes, in a month.
Right.
He says it's good to see her in a happy mood when he was looking back at the wedding video. He says it's emotional and surreal looking back at it. And he also says, you know, she has grown to be his best friend, and he really wants to protect her. And he gets emotional when he's talking to her. He says he feels bad for all the fighting. And he likes seeing her happy and thinking about the tough times since then and all the things that she has told him and that the pain that she has shared with him. And it hits home so much, and he will always protect her. She is such a sweet person. Yeah, that was the other thing I was looking at. I was like, yeah, it feels like they've really kind of dug deeper than we've seen.
Yeah.
Especially with her. So I think that's an interesting thing to look at it from.
Right. Because it's like, from our perspective, it seems like their substantial conversations are the ones that are aired, but they could be having a lot more conversations than we see, getting deeper. It's just that we're seeing the dramatic conversations more so than the simple ones that allow them to just grow and, you know, get to know each other better. And I thought it was kind of not a turning point for Mark, but it was something for him to kind of be reminded of that happy day, because they haven't been able to reflect like that because they're living in real time. And so for him to be like, oh my gosh, we were so happy that day. And like, because of everything that's happened, it's just like put a damper on things. And once you start seeing someone a certain way, it's really hard to stop. Mm-hmm. And something major, and so unless something major happens. So for him to like shed some tears, just thinking about like what they've gone through and the fights they've gone through, I think it was good. I don't think that it's enough to kind of get them to the point to say yes on decision day, but I think it's enough to prevent more intense arguments between the two.
Yeah.
For him, at least.
Yeah. So he tells her he's going to try and be more open-minded with her and all the changes that they're going through. And in a confession, he says that they're open to more conversations now, and things like where they live and how where they work are going to help determine the future of their marriage.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for them. We're going to tackle all the dinner stuff in a segment at the end.
Yeah.
But not much from them there either. Well, there's a little bit from her, but not really pertaining to their relationship.
Right.
Not much. And on the next time on, they get into another fight. She's like grabbing him while they're talking. He's like, can you not grab me like that? And that prompts her to say that she's done, and then she leaves.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She talks with her hand. So it's not even talking with her hands. She's
very affectionate with people.
Yes.
Like whether it be her spouse or just her friends. Mm-hmm. Like I remember like when she was on After Party with Chris, she couldn't keep her hands off him.
Uh-huh.
And she was like touching him and like, cause, and they're just friends. I feel like that's just the type of person she is. She like, she really is affectionate with anybody that she meets.
Right. Much. Yeah. And it could be a lot when you're in you're in a tense conversation, because he already kind of feels like she's trying to maybe not control him, but make decisions for him. And he wants to feel like he is the man in this situation. Yeah. Where it's feeling like she's the one being more dominant.
And just that, like, can you just stop touching me, please? Like, yeah. you're always touching.
Yeah. Just stop, please. But yeah, isn't that like one of the, have you ever read like his and her needs or whatever that book is called?
There's some nonsense about love languages.
Yeah. This one's not love languages. This is like the core needs of men and women. And
I have not read that book.
Okay. It's saying something about men, like the core needs of a man in relationships are I'm trying to cite it, people. Feeling competent. Well, those are psychological needs. Let me not try to do research in the middle of the podcast, I was thinking back on him wanting to have a job and that job security to be able to provide.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows a difference between like a Mark and a Steve. Like,
but no, I disagree with you there. I don't feel like Steve can't provide.
That's true. Yeah, but it's just like, I feel like Mark is just like, I just need to have a job just to have a job. Mm-hmm. Like even when Lindsay is kind of like offering him an olive branch, just saying, well, you know, I can float us, you know, for a week or to a month or whatever. He's like, no, I just need to work because I want to work. I like to work.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm good with letting my money work for me.
Exactly.
Which I think is what's going on there. But, you know.
Yeah. So where would you rate them?
Lovey-dovey stuff all put aside. I feel like the majority of this episode was really trying to paint everybody in a good light.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can't really believe what I'm seeing right now from them. I'm just going to keep them at a one. I just don't feel like this is going anywhere positive. I don't see him saying yes on decision day. I got to stay at my one. How about you?
Yeah, I did like that he was showing effort. Because I think in the back of his mind, he knew if I don't do anything, this woman is going to be livid. Mm-hmm. And so I do like that he showed effort. He did listen, but I don't think it was like for us, it seemed so positive because they didn't have a big argument. But it wasn't just like, oh, my gosh, now they're being affectionate. And now that, you know, he is being like physically affectionate towards her, whether that be just like holding her hand, rubbing her back, giving her unprompted kisses. So you know, I just feel like nothing happened this episode to make me think that he's not just trying to get through this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to maintain my one too.
Yeah. Mark's definitely in grin and bear it mode, just trying to get through it. And I think that's just where he's going to stay. He's going to try and not like start big arguments, but
yeah,
it feels like it's probably inevitable.
Yeah. And like you said, we'll get into a little bit more during the dinner with them, but still maintaining my one.
Right.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
So where are we going next?
So let's see. We have a couple that, of course, you know, spark strong emotions with people. But I like them this episode. So let's just go ahead and get into Jasmina and Mike. So, of course, like we said, everyone was celebrating their 1 month anniversaries this episode. And so with Jasmina and Mike, they start out with the little piece at the beginning where Mr. Feeney had on some glasses.
Well, I know you like that.
Jasmina's dog, Mr. Feeney, had on glasses. If I ever tried to put glasses on, I've tried to put my shades on her just for a pic, you know, quick pic. That girl is not having it. She's like, but they were so cute on him. He looked like a distinguished gentleman.
Yeah, he was a distinguished little doggy.
Yeah. They were getting dressed to go eat, I believe. And he had on like this matching short set. And she was like, man, you're dressed up. Like, they're going to be like, why is he with this basic girl? I thought that was funny.
This is more that, you know, they just keep displaying that everyday chemistry that we love.
Yes. On After Party, it was Melissa Fredericks, who is Kevin Fredericks' wife. They host the Bald and the Beautiful podcast about Married at First Sight. And Melissa said, she was like, y'all just display this black love that, you know, you see. And of course, their relationship is not perfect. And their relationship isn't just like the epitome of what black love should be. But it's the best we can get on this season in this book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this episode was really just like, I don't want to fall for it, but I'm starting to fall for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It really is tough. We did get some feedback before we dive into it. We did get some feedback from South Jersey Pete that I wanted to ask you about because I wasn't too sure what this meant. He said, isn't it obvious that Michael and Jasmina are playing out the string?
No.
What does that mean?
Well, I just think if it's kind of like how we talk about Mark, how Mark is just kind of like trying to get through it. That's what I think South Jersey Pete means. I don't think so. I think this episode showed me no. I think Mike's really putting in a lot more effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel like they're just trying to get through it because I feel like, especially what we've seen through Jasmina, if she's annoyed with him or she's over this, she is going to physically show it and she's going to show it through her actions.
Now, I could see where someone might say Jasmina herself might be trying to get through it before this episode. Mm-hmm. Because it just felt like she was done. She's like, I'm not going to mess with this man. Like, this man is like talking to me all the wrong way, blah, blah, blah. But I think Mike showed, you know, this episode that he was really trying. I think that's going to make her try.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So Mike talked to his friend, Travis. So you had a sit down. Travis came over to talk to him and Mr. Feeney greeted him so nicely at the door.
Mike, such a nice dog.
Yeah. So nice. Mike poured them some juice. Did you think that he was making them like a drink? Or did you realize it was just going to be juice?
I didn't know what was going on. I did see him grabbing something that looked like alcohol. Like, so I think it was a mixed drink.
I don't know. It looked like he just grabbed the Minute Maid.
No, because Minute Maid was on the counter. Mm-hmm. And I remember him turning to like another place and getting a bottle out. So I think it was a mixed drink. If I'm correct.
Okay. So I don't know.
The tape on that.
Rewind the tapes. So his friend is over and we find out that Mike had changed his schedule, his work schedule, to accommodate Mr. Feeney.
I was like, okay. Is he just like coming to walk the dog? Like in the middle of the day? Is that what he means, maybe?
Maybe it's like, okay, he gets home in a time that like he can get home before Jasmina to take out Mr. Feeney. Like they make sure that they're like Mr. Feeney is only home for 8 hours. Someone is always there during the right time frames to be able to take him out.
Like that, like he said that, you know, that's not what she was looking for. But I was like, that's actually like to me, that's major trying. That's major. Yes. Effort, I think.
Yeah, because we thought that was a huge issue in the beginning with his atrocious work schedule of just like he was like, I'm up from like 4 and I don't get home till like 8 p.m.
Yeah, we were a little suspect of it anyway. Like, I feel like in the middle of that, there's some breaks we could have come home anyway, but maybe he's moved around some personal training sessions maybe. So he can get home for a little bit.
Yeah. So he tells Travis, like, you know, after she called out that he wasn't putting in the effort, he realized he needs to do what she needs rather than what he thinks a husband should be doing, which makes so much sense because I feel like LaJuan has this issue as well of just doing what they think a husband should do because they think that, oh, I've heard all this time, this is what husbands do, so this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that was so interesting. And like, you know, Jasmina even backed that up on After Party. She was like, he was giving me X, Y, and Z, but then I'll try and explain to him I need A, B, and C, not X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
So that really kind of distilled it down. I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah.
And it's about their communication, which is what most of their issues are about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's not hearing her say, this is what I need, but she's saying it. Yeah. He's not hearing it. He just has his own thoughts, his own opinions, and he's just really kind of bullheaded. And thinking that, but it seems like he's really like opened himself up and is starting to listen.
Yes, exactly. That's the key. He's just listening. And she's been telling him, just listen to her. Talk to her.
Talk not disrespectfully.
Her. Yes.
Talk Watch your to tone. Me. Talk to me, not at me.
Right. So he tells Mike tells Travis, like, he loves a lot of things about her. He loves her aura when she just walks into a room, just her presence. And he wants to do something like really romantic for their 1 month. And he's like, look, if this doesn't connect, I've got nothing else. Yeah. It's like, Mike, you're going to have to continue to romance her throughout your marriage. It's not just like, ah, this is it.
You imagine like, hey, I tried the 1 month anniversary. Remember that?
Right.
If he does nothing else, like after that, like, hey, I tried.
Right. Like they hit their 1 year. He's like, don't you remember what I did at 1 month?
We just went out, you know, 11 months ago. Right. Doesn't that make you happy?
Yeah. So then he surprises her. He goes and sets up the living room and the kitchen, and he goes and wakes her up as she comes out, and there's a breakfast spread, and there's the basket from production that gave them this basket for their 1 month, and she loves it. She says she's a sucker for presentation, and he knows that. And so she was happy.
She said, it looks like I did this.
Yeah.
That's how good it is.
Right. She was impressed. So they look through their wedding album. They see that they got a plaque with their vows. And he suggests that they rewrite their vows so they can say it to each other. I thought this was a cute idea.
I'm surprised she didn't go, well, you know what? I don't need to write them down. You can write down your vows if you want. I can speak like a normal person and I can say my vows out loud. But you can write it down in your little journal and you can recite them if you want. I'm open to hearing your vows.
Right. That's what makes me think we're getting a softer side of it, like a more understanding side of Jasmina, of just like her understanding. That she is playing a part in this as well. It's not all Michael and the miscommunication. Her approach as well has been causing a lot of the issues. And so I'm glad that it seems like she understands that, because even during the dinner, I think it was during the dinner, they were in a confessional together. And she said, like, we all have issues with communication.
Yeah. And she, I think she was speaking about Lindsay at that point. She's like, the first step is acknowledging it. Like yeah. some people don't do, AKA Lindsay.
Yeah. So that was funny. And so then he continues the date that he's planned for her for their 1 month. And he set up a table and rose petals and everything at the altar where they got married.
Can I ask this real quick, though? We get all this. I planned this. I planned that. How much of it do you think they actually planned? Or was this like all production and the production like gives them the credit for it?
Yeah, they're like, Mike, what do you want to do for the 1 year? It'd be cool if we did dinner at the place we got married. Okay, got it. We'll handle it.
I'm not even sure if it's that. I just think they come to him with like a tab, like, all right, this is what we're thinking about doing for you and Jasmine's anniversary. We're going to send you back to the place you got married. And you're going to have a nice dinner. You're going to have a dance. You're going to have somebody with a cello there. You're going to make do another dance. Sound good to you? He's like, I guess. Like, great. That's what we're doing. We're going to say it's all you, though. So you're going to take all the credit. I just think for all the couples, that's what's going on.
I really hope not, because that would be setting the bar too high. Like, but imagine.
I believe that a couple each year gets to like, you're going to go to where you got married and, mm-hmm. you know, reenact how you got married. I want to say they've done that a few different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like a trick that production has in its bag.
Right. Oh, I hope not. Cause yeah, now that I think about it, like, can you imagine Mark thinking about this like secluded getaway, like knowing like this would be a perfect, like, was he talking to production and said, look, maybe we go somewhere?
Yeah. Hang out. I think production is like, this is what you're going to do. Yeah. You're going to act like you came up with it yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what's going to be.
But that movie date, Katina planned, that was all her.
Yeah, sure.
At you home. Know. It was at home. Sure. That's easy.
Sure, sure. I don't know accuracy of all that, but sure. Yeah, we'll give Katina the credit because we like Katina.
Okay. So she thinks the setup is beautiful. And so they do their vows. So they are saying them to each other now. So her vows are like, she promises to stop fighting with him. She promises to listen to him. She promises to light up his life like he does the candles every night.
Apparently Mike is a candle guy. And as a fellow candle guy, you know, I give him props. Now, all these promises, I feel like it's a problem. You promise to never fight with him again.
That's a big promise.
Yeah, these are big promises we're making. And I'm not sure that you can keep all these promises. Same thing with him. Same thing with all these people promising each other the whole world. Like, okay, that's a nice thing to say, but are you actually going to act on it?
Right. Y'all need to stop promising. we promise to give you podcasts under 2 hours.
Yeah. we routinely fail at that.
Right. So... then he recites his vows. The main takeaway I had from it was that he promises to talk with her, not at her.
Boy, that phrase gets used a lot.
Constantly.
This season. It got used at least 3 times this episode.
Yes. It's like, dang, Pastor Kyle really pressed that home for them because they're like, okay, I need to remember that. And so he says, like, Mike tells like us, he feels like, because she's not a stranger, these vows meant so much more than they did on the wedding day. And he feels like he's falling for her. And she says it meant a lot for her to like relive these moments.
Yeah, so, he said at one point that, you know, his actions are showing he's putting an effort. And before it felt like an obligation, mm-hmm. but now he's actually trying to put in the actual work to find a strong connection, which I thought was a really impactful statement.
Yeah, I really liked that they did this, because especially the vows piece, whether that was production or not, I feel like that was good for them, especially looking through the photo album and just being reminded of their wedding day and how happy they were. I think that was a good reminder, like, dang, we really did hit it off right away. Like, yeah. We really did have some good initial chemistry. And then maybe it can resonate that we really are getting in our own way. Like, we could really have something good, but we sit here arguing about the air, if it's flowing out or flowing into the vent.
We're arguing about how you said a word.
Right? Arguing about whether we want to journal or not. Like, there are real issues out here, people.
People are out here dying.
Exactly. Good Lord. So that I felt like that was really good for them. And so let's see, they go to commercial and kind of come back to them at the dinner. And he really likes where things are right now. And she feels like they have found their rhythm. But she does feel like the first four weeks were like a waste in a sense, because they spent all that time fighting and not like growing with each other. But he said, like, even through all that, he feels like he's learned that she's willing to fight for this. And so I think that I feel like that was one of his fears. Like I felt like he just had this fear that, like, okay, does she like me? Is she into this? Is she willing to like get through hard times? And she's also thinking, like, does he even care? Is he showing that he cares? So it's almost just like, I know they have an issue with communicating, but they need to over communicate at this point so they can stop misunderstanding each other.
Yeah. And, you know, throughout by the end of this segment, she's like, you know, I can see myself falling for him and we've gotten a little closer. I'm like, you know, can we get like a little more room? This would be a perfect time to get more romantic, maybe a kiss, maybe something else, but I feel like she's still not there with it.
But it's both sides. We got some feedback by way of text message through my mom. She said, Michael needs to try to make a romantic move. He needs to do better. No hand-holding, kisses, hugs, or nothing. And I feel like, so I feel like I know what this little breath was. I feel like, you know, she's not presenting somebody who's welcoming to that physical affection, but he's also not initiating it.
Well, he's like, said many times that he's taking her lead because she has said that she does not feel comfortable until she feels an emotional connection.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, this wasn't like nice or romantic for you. You don't feel anything in this moment that makes you want to spark some kind of affection here.
I feel like I don't want people to like stop listening to the podcast if I say this, but I feel like me and Jasmine are similar in a few ways.
Click. And everybody cutting off the podcast. Now you've done it.
Please don't be done with me. Because like, I do feel that way where like, yes, I need the emotional connection before like having that desire for any type of physical connection. But it's also a turnoff if there's no initiation of physical connection. Like, you're not trying to hold my hand. You're not trying to, like, that's also showing that you desire the other person.
But I feel like she's hit it so many times saying, I need emotional, mental connection before anything happens. And I feel like she is so, it feels like she wants to be completely in love before she gives this man a kiss.
See, that's an assumption, though. I don't think so. She just needs to, well, like we are going to see on the previews, she's like, we're a month in. I still don't have feelings for this man. And it's because it's like they're homies, right? They laugh. But is she attracted to his personality? Is she attracted to his mind?
I mean, but like on After Party, she was like, you know, we laugh so much. We have so much fun. Blah, blah, blah. She's had the most fun with him that she's ever had with anybody, which is a strong statement.
Yeah. That is a strong segment.
But I just feel like then she's going to say she doesn't have any feelings for this man a month in. I know the After Party is taped after everything happens.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like Jasmine is the one that has to move up a little bit. And you're saying you feel so like Mike has to move a little bit.
Yes. I feel like if he gives a little, she's going to be able to take a little bit more. Like,
but I feel like if he tries to move in, she's going to be like, we're not there yet.
No,
don't touch me.
No,
she's gonna be like Mark in the preview, like, don't touch me. Get your hand off
even
me.
If it's holding hands,
he's dancing with her
peck on the cheek.
He's dancing with her in this moment, in this segment that we're in right now. They're dancing, they're having a fun time. I feel like he's giving her the lead. He has said to her, you have the lead because you want the lead. You said you'll basically tell me when it's time.
Yeah.
And she hasn't said this time.
But can you imagine her saying, okay, you can kiss me now?
She doesn't have to say
what
that.
What kind of permission does she have to give?
She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to like verbally give the permission. There's ways to like give the permission without vocally saying it. I think we all know that.
Going for it.
Maybe just, like just demonstrate that you want to be close to him.
Because that's your so actions. That's so annoying to me. If I have to be the one to initiate,
but that's what she wants. That's what she said she wants.
I don't think so. I think she would find it attractive if he showed that he wants to not just, okay, until you say so. But it's like, okay, like obviously they're in a romantic setting. This would be the like perfect opportunity. That
by giving her this romantic setting, I feel like he's saying, like, it's time. I feel like she's just being a little cold, maybe.
You felt like she was cold this episode?
No, not necessarily in that way. But like to affection. I feel like she's not, she's still not there yet with the affection piece.
Right. And I feel like she'll never get there if they don't start inching.
But she got inched a little bit. this whole thing, whole setup was him inching. Now it's her turn to inch.
I'm sure 99% of the listeners are agreeing with you, but I just.
No one ever agrees with me.
But I just see it as she would also start finding him a little bit more attractive if he was taking the initiative by look, I know this is what you need and we are growing. We're getting to know each other. We're learning each other's backgrounds. I'm just going to do something simple. I'm just going to hold your hand. I'm just going to put my hand on your knee, you know, things like that. Like he's acting like he needs permission to have any type of physical touch. Like he's not even doing something he would do with like I don't know about his roommates, but his sisters, he give her them hugs. Like the best that these two do are hugs after these dates that are initiated by production.
So I feel like he's giving his roommates some hugs, maybe some more. You follow me? That's why he wasn't trouble up front with that. But that's just a theory.
He's like, let's leave that in the past.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Just the vibe I get from her is like, I'll let you know when it's time. Yeah. I feel like he's pretty much said as much.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's thinking like, exactly what you're thinking. Like she hasn't given me the go ahead. So what am I going to do? But I just feel like she wouldn't not go in for let's make out in front of the other couples or anything like that. But just inching towards this showing that you're trying to take the initiative.
I just got to wonder what the bed setup is like. Like, do we get a pillow divider in between them? Is there like no cuddling in the middle of the night at all?
Right. I don't know.
We had a Johnny and Bao situation where like it was a Bao put the pillow in between them.
Yes. And they made that an ordeal. So I don't know. But we did see him say that, like, he said it. He was like, if this had been 2 weeks ago, like, there's no way I could have imagined us both saying yes. And I was like, I got a little nervous because I was like, is she going to take this
the right way?
Yeah.
What you mean you was going to say yes? Right. I wasn't going to say yes before you weren't going to say yes. So take that.
But yeah, she agreed that they definitely were not in a position to both say yes. And so they do the dinner date and they come back and this is not after the dinner date. This is after their dinner at the wedding venue. She thought the dinner was amazing and can't believe he did that. Like, she was really impressed. They take their red velvet cake out of the freezer to eat it. And it makes her feel that he really wants them to be in a better place. And so then they lit a special candle. Because she's like, oh, you lit that candle? He's like, yeah, we said when things are going good, we're going to light this candle. So
now in this segment, they were like, they were getting ready to cut the cake. And he was like, I mean, because she was, you know, saying he really did great. He's like, admit it, you feeling me a little bit.
Right.
And she says, just a little bit. I'm like, uh-oh, okay. We're starting to thaw out the ice. Flirting. They were starting to thaw the ice out, like the wedding cake.
Yes.
I decided to point this out. I just don't know what it was, because when they did the wedding the first time and they did a little cake cutting, was that a fake cake? It looked like styrofoam.
So I know sometimes these days they'll do just the part that they're the piece of the cake that they're going to cut. That's real cake, but then everything else is fake.
Okay. Because, yeah, they like,
I guess like the more affordable option.
Because they flash back to it in this episode. I was just like, that was so weird. Like, yeah. It was like, it was cardboard. They stuck this knife in. They just lifted up the top piece of the cake and it was like fake.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if the cake person didn't tell them which part to cut, but they'll do that. And then the wedding guest will get like a sheet cake version of the cake that is like cut up in the back.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that was really what we got from them. She ended it with saying like, what's next? And they kind of laughed about it, but I don't think they're consummating their marriage tonight.
Like, this wasn't enough.
Right. She didn't get him a gift or anything. Right.
Yeah. I feel like we got a couple of that. Like Mark, like Lindsay didn't get Mark anything.
Yeah.
Elijah one that didn't get Katina anything.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was like Steve and Noy. They both gave each other gifts.
Yeah.
So it was like, that was kind of odd. Maybe they just didn't show it. We didn't even get to see their wedding gifts. So
yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them just not showing us. But so, yeah, next time on, we do see her saying like, I have no feelings for him. And so it's been a month. And Michael telling his sister that he doesn't feel like he will say yes.
But like, how do we get to there from here? This is such a positive episode. And now we're talking about she has no feelings for him at month end, which is like, that's a pretty definite statement, unless in classic Mavs style, they are, you know, putting it out of context. I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
Right. It's very hard to Frankenbite that.
Yeah.
But it seems like that is how they're feeling. I don't know if maybe they both had the expectation to go there and or to make any type of progress. And they both just neither of them initiated anything and nothing happened. And so then they're frustrated. Which kind
of episode of like, things are going really well.
I know.
And then just the next week is like, things are terrible.
I know.
We'll have to see. We did get a nice scene of like him teaching her how to drive.
Yes.
That was pretty fun.
I know. I was like, wait, she doesn't drive.
Boston's a big city. You might take public transportation everywhere.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I was like, is Boston one of those cities where you can rely on public transportation? Jasmina was on After Party, but she didn't really provide anything about their relationship specifically besides feeling a little cheesy, like watching their moments back.
Yeah, she teared up a little bit at certain moments and she did say a lot of really positive things about him.
Yeah. Yeah. So where does that leave you with the rating?
This episode might have worked on me. Where was I last time? Was
you
I
were at a three.
I was at a three.
Yeah.
I do feel like this episode deserves an upgrade. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a four.
Whoa.
They're inching their way back up for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like that's a good, this was a good episode. And if I take After Party into consideration, I feel like Jasmina is not the type of person to be that emotional about something that no longer exists. But yeah,
these people aren't great actors.
Right.
They're regular people. And it felt really genuine with the things that she was saying.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be reading too deep into it, but
could be.
I did enjoy them this episode, and I feel like they made progress in the right direction. Next week doesn't look optimistic, but things could change from there. Like maybe they just had an argument and need to recover from it. Yeah. But still, I'm going to maintain my three. I think I need to see how next week transpires before I can go up on them.
I remember somebody giving us a review and saying that I'm the cynical one. They may need to retract that statement and make it you, because you're not as high on these people as I am.
It's all about consistent cynicism. That's what you provide. I'm here and there.
Is it weird that I can see? No, I can't see three. Is it weird that I want to say I can see three couples coming out of this?
Whoa, three out of four?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think we all know who I'm leaving out of that.
I would assume Mark and Lindsay. Okay.
Yeah, you assume, right?
Okay.
Because I just think, I'm starting to see it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not gonna write that in stone. I just okay. wouldn't it be crazy? Given wouldn't the it be wild? Recent track record of math seasons.
Yeah, I would love that. I would be very happy for them, even if it's a situation where like that couple had no business saying yes, but they said yes. At least they said yes. They're willing to try a little bit.
I feel like that could be a Mike and Jasmine. Like they say yes on decision day, but by the time we get to the reunion, it's like nah, didn't work.
Yeah, that's what would make me nervous. I think. Yeah, it's hard because I think saying yes would be like specifically with Jasmine and Michael. I feel like saying yes would give him the confidence that he needs in this relationship to be like, she wants to be with me like that. Mm-hmm. Her marrying me, that wasn't her choice. But her saying yes on decision day, that is her choice to move forward with me.
That just shows you what a sucker I am for these episodes. Like this is one episode. I'm just like completely like changing my opinion.
I love them.
Mike and Jasmine are like, maybe I just want to get back to that glory like they did on this episode of that wedding. Like yes. We were so high for that literally. Wedding.
We were so high. Yeah, we were so high on them. We were literally five.
Yeah.
So I guess we did at the in case you're new here. One for our ratings, one is being they're going to say no on decision day, and five being they're definitely going to say yes on decision day. So still middle of the road for Jasmine and Michael.
They just want to reignite that spark like they kept saying they did. They want to reignite the spark of their wedding.
Yeah, they can do it. I believe in them. All right, where do you want to head next?
We're going to get them out of the way, as we say every week on the show, most weeks, minus Noodlegate. Right. Let's get Steve and Noy out of the way. The first big segment we get from them is Steve is playing basketball with his brother. He's going to try and ask his brother for advice. So he says,
If I hadn't liked Steve enough, the man plays basketball. I've been playing basketball since I was six. I was just like, ugh, this keeps winning me over.
You haven't played basketball since you were six?
I have been playing basketball.
I thought you said you had. I was like, what? What?
I started playing basketball when I was six.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
There we go.
So Steve tells, brother, at first, Noy was okay with him having a full time job, but now she's expecting a lot because she's working hard and he's not doing anything. So she expects meals and cleaning. So then he tells his brother about Noodlegate. But he kind of stops short of saying like, well, after that, she disappeared for a whole day.
Right.
But he doesn't want to give the whole story and like, embarrass himself and Noy.
Because it's one of those things like you tell your family and friends about things. They're not going to forgive them like you did.
Yeah. Like maybe you should get out of that.
Yeah.
So Steve tells Stella's brother, she leans on her friends a lot. And she'll if we have an issue, she'll talk to her friends about it first before she even talks to me. And, he just wishes that she would talk to him first before going in and spreading their problems out to all of her friends.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, that would probably be a good sign of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
His brother says, the fights are coming from issues that stem from the fact that they don't know each other. And he gives Steve the advice to try and tackle the small things first and then move on to broader issues. Because if you let the small things fester, it's only going to get worse. Good advice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think that's like advice that you would give someone if they were trying to solve issues in marriage?
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that just makes sense. Like if there's little things that you can solve, get those out of the way so that they don't become bigger.
Yeah.
So in a confessional, Steve says the first month has been challenging, but as long as we work on it, he thinks they'll be fine. Yeah, I think so too, Steve.
Yeah.
So the next segment we get is Noy meeting up with her friend, Sammy. The friend asks how are things going? She says she had measured about 80-20, 80 being great, 20 being not so great. Mm-hmm. She says that the good things that he's so sweet. And, ever since he told her that he loves her, he can't stop saying it. And that, he understands her at a soul level. And even when he's frustrated and they're arguing, that he's usually the first one to try and fix things between them by apologizing.
Yeah.
So let me get to the bad. And folks, I'll give you one guess at what the bad part was. It's the job issue.
Yeah.
And she says that, she has to just keep encouraging him to be ambitious. And, and she does not want to be the sole breadwinner. And so I'm pretty sure like Steve himself and Steve's friends have told you that's never going to be the case.
Yes. Why does she just like, she just doesn't believe them.
She doesn't believe Steve. She doesn't believe the friends. She just doesn't believe anything anyone's telling her. Like, she's like, I'm just trying to encourage him to be ambitious. I'm like, I think Steve's got like a master's degree in like in computer technology and whatever his degree is in.
Like, and girl, like, that, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, like, I don't think that that's really an issue with Steve. Like, I think you might be on the wrong track here. I'm pretty sure he's pretty. I feel like Steve was like an early investor in like Dogecoin or whatever the heck that thing is. And he's made like 20 times the money he invested. And he's just like sitting on that or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he won't just explain that to her. Or if he did, she's just not getting it. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I can't share that with her, because if I did, she'll definitely say yes on decision day. So let me hold it and see if she wants me for me. Yeah.
I guess, but oh my gosh. Like, I feel like she could just tell, he could tell her, like, yeah, I've got like $5 million in the bank right now, so I feel like I'm fine. But she's still be like,
but you don't want have, a job.
Like, I don't want you to be a bum.
I just feel like she's romanticizing jobs.
Well, I mean, she's got this image of, in her head of like a perfect family, like mom, you know, husband and wife work, they all split the duties. But I mean, that's just not how it is sometimes. So you just, you got to come to terms with that.
Right.
You know, the friend asks, you know, so if everything stays the way it is, how is it going to be come time decision day? She said, well, you know, love is one thing, but, you know, but love isn't everything. I feel like it's a pretty big part of it. No, I feel like,
yes,
you shouldn't say you love somebody if you're not accepting of the things that they're presenting you. And I feel like Steve is presenting everything that he is.
And like, Noy, what if he loves you? Your company does massive layoffs. Now you don't have a job. Are you going? Are you expecting Steve to leave you because you don't have a job now?
No, her defense would be, well, I'll be looking for a job. I will be like bum Steve sitting on his butt all day playing video games while I'm hard at work being a recruiter or whatever it is she does.
It's, yeah.
So it's the friend, annoying. Yeah, the friend tells her, you know, don't fall in love with the idea of what he could be, but make sure that you're falling in love with the person that he is.
Which is, it's good advice, but not in this context, because I feel like that's her further elevating Noy's point that she thinks she has. Because now Noy's thinking, like, I can't think he'll want a job one day. I have to look at him now. Right now, he doesn't want a job. And I don't like that.
Right now, he's a bum. I can't fall in love with a bum.
Yeah.
You know, so Noy says, if they don't resolve their issues, they are just doomed to fail. Cut to commercial.
Are they, though? Why?
I mean, the girl is just, she's a delusional. I don't know how many more words I can put to what she is. She's just not getting it. And, well, watch us just be totally wrong. And like at the reunion, it'll be like, well, yeah, I was maxing out credit cards.
Right.
I didn't really have any savings. So by about, you know, the seventh week, I was pretty much flat broke and a lot of debt. Like, watch us just be totally wrong.
I believe him. I feel like so further evidence is that like, her with the 3-kid thing, she doesn't want to budge on that. I feel like she's shown multiple examples of just being kind of like unreasonable in a sense, like falling in love with him 3 days in.
Yeah.
Just little things here and there makes me believe she is basing this purely on the fact that she thinks in her mind, like you said, the perfect family, the husband has a job, the dad has a job, and she can't settle with this, like, this idea that someone can have money saved away and be able to provide. Because he said, like, have you ever been in a tough financial position since we've been together? Like you said, the last episode is like, she's been fine. She thinks, oh, it's not going to always be that way. Noy, why not?
Yeah, make it make sense, Noy. Come on.
Ugh.
So the next segment we get with them is Steve takes to, I guess, what is the Boston Harbor? They sit and, you know, he tells us on confession, he says, the first month's been challenging, but every time they argue and they come back together stronger. So he gives her a bunch of gifts. The first one is a leopard print jacket for sushi. I'm sure you were jealous.
I was like, I did recently, well, recently, like end of the year last year. So a few months ago, I saw this really nice puffer jacket for Pepper. And I was like, can't get it. Don't need to splurge. I literally couldn't stop thinking about it. So I went back and got it. So I was like, that's the nicest thing Pepper probably owns. If you guys want to go look at it, then my most recent Instagram post at Asia Like the Continent on Instagram. And so that jacket she got, it's really nice quality. So I was like, that's on par with the leopard print for Sushi.
How big is Pepper's closet? You gotta know.
You know, honestly, she does have, she has a wardrobe. She could wear a different outfit every day of like a 7 day week.
That's honestly like less than I thought I was going to be. Okay. Good job with resisting the urge to get a whole month's worth of wardrobe for right. Pepper.
She does. Yeah, she does have like a month's worth of bandanas she could wear, though.
Oh, gosh. So he gets the leopard print jacket for Sushi. He also got Noi something leopard print. And he tells her that he ordered himself something leopard print so that they could take a family photo.
How so cute.
Like, right. So it's like, okay, Noi, like this man is buying you gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you think like this money is coming from? Like, I just got to know. I want the episode where we go over like finances in detail.
Yes.
Like, you know, because we have like
Jose level.
Right. Like he's got a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we usually get that episode where like, okay, well, I make this much money a year. How much do you spend on blah, blah, and blah?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get that so that she can take a look at his bank account. Like, okay, well, I have this much saved up.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with these two. I can't take it anymore.
And she acts like that's my issue with her. She acts like there's zero income coming to him. He clearly does like, what do you call it? It's kind of like contractor work, but what?
Like freelancing.
Freelance. Yes. He clearly does freelance work where he's able to continue to beef up his bank account. He's earning money, not in the traditional sense, not in a, oh, you're guaranteed this certain salary. But if he's working doing that and has stuff saved, why can you not understand? I think she just needs to come to a better understanding, but she's not willing to compromise.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been saying, like I feel like this is also a little bit on Steve as well. I feel like if Steve held her hand and said, okay, look, this is what I make when I do this. Like, walk her through the process.
Yes.
Like, this is how I get my money. Like, all the time, I have tons of options I can go to. It's not an issue.
Right.
I feel like if he just walked her through that, she'd be a little better off, hopefully. But it's just like being married to like a salesman who works on commission. Like that's not guaranteed income, but they make it work.
Or a real estate agent like Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
This would have been Alyssa for sure.
He's so broke.
Yeah.
He's a bum. Oh my God. In confessional, she says, you know, she talks about how her husband's wonderful. And, you know, she could tell the time that he took to pick the gifts, but she still wants to sit down and have a talk about their finances and wants him to work toward a goal. Like, what is he, a 15-year-old kid? Like,
yeah,
I really want you to work toward this goal.
It's like one thing to be goal-oriented. Like, yes, that is like a desirable trait to want something in life and work towards it, right? Mm-hmm. But if he is, it doesn't have to solely be a job. Like it could be if he wanted to be a local singer at a coffee shop, I would hope you're practicing. I would hope you have the guitar out and you're singing some melodies and you're writing songs and improving on it. That is still attractive because you are working towards something. But if Noi saw that, no, he doesn't have a job.
It's like the way she said it. It was like, okay, so we're going to put change in our piggy bank. And when we get to $15, you can go up buy a present. That's a goal that we want to work toward. It's like, lady, I've reached my goals, surpassed my goals. Like, I'm good. I don't need your giving me a goal.
Yeah.
So then she turns out she got him a Polaroid camera that he really wanted as her gift to him. So then we move on to their next little date. They're on a boat. A boat with a bunch of sushi. It's like a boat tour. They got sushi on. It's like, Noi, do you think this was expensive or do you think this was cheap? Do you think, like, how do you think he paid for this? I just like, Think about it, Noy.
There's no thought there. There, no. All she thinks is no job, no job, no job, no job.
No job. He's broke. So, you know, she says she loves the idea. And he's kind of explaining stuff to her around the harbor about the different landmarks that they can see. And she remarks to him, it feels like more like a couple of years, not a month. She talks about how it's because they've hit so many landmarks in a short period of time. Like they moved in together, they got married. And that's why I feel like it's, been such a long amount of time. He remarks to her that his friends are telling him that the fights that they have, they're telling him that this usually happens several months into like a marriage or relationship. Mm-hmm. And he also says that they're working through them because they live in the same place. He says, it's not like we can go to different homes. Subtle jab, like you did.
Right.
And even after that, she goes she says the stakes are high and they can't just walk away. And she goes, well, I did that one time, but whatever. Like literally she says,
that's my one pass.
Yeah, whatever. So he asks her if she feels like this is the picture she had in her mind. She says that, it's been harder than she thought, but it's been more rewarding, and that she knew the experts would find her someone nice and meet her criteria, but she's shocked that it's been this good and that he is her match in every single way.
Aww. Yeah.
Except for the money part.
Right.
So he tells her this was his best case scenario. Like he got what he wanted. Mm-hmm. He asks her what would help in the marriage in the next month. To get her to a yes, as she says that she wants a plan revolved around money and wants to address that before their final decision. And then he asks her, but you do notice that I put an effort to have those discussions.
Right.
But you've been so busy, like, you don't want to have the discussion.
Exactly.
And it's like, I'm trying to work through the problem, and they can't expect each other to change overnight, but they can expect each other to try. And when she's presented with this, like, what they give us, she's like, okay. And that's the end of it.
Yeah. No.
What does that mean? Like, he's trying to come up with a resolve, and she's just like, I can't talk about this right now. I'm busy.
Right. Like, I think it's just that they have these conversations, and then she's just like, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And there's no, like, concrete plan set in place. I think that's what she needs a plan, but he is able to give her a plan, but it's not the plan that she wants.
Yeah, he doesn't have a plan.
Yes, exactly. It's just like, no, that's what I want. So I don't know. I feel like she's going to be the detriment of their relationship. Yeah. I think they could work if this wasn't an issue for her.
Yeah, 100%. So the next time on, we get this is a weird like argument about Steve asking to split the bathroom duties and the sushi duties, and she's like, no, I don't think so. And then she's like, well, that's what we need to do. And she's like, well, you can kiss my ass. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Again, who knows what that's really about.
Right.
Yeah. So where are you at with them as far as a rating?
Because of Noy, I definitely can't be at a 5. At last week, I was at a 5. So I'm actually going to go down to a 4 because I feel like if she can't let this go, like I could see her saying, literally, just like she was saying, he has everything I want. Everything like this, everything I want. But he doesn't have a job, and that's just a deal breaker. So,
yeah. So this definitely hinges on Noy.
Yes.
This is what's going to make or break it. I'm going to stick with my 5. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they haven't really gotten any expert intervention in this particular area, if I can remember right.
Well, it was, wasn't it?
Because Cal talked to them about the kid thing.
Yeah, but Dr. Viviana, she was telling her to, because remember she was tearing up and Dr. Viviana told her to face towards him to talk about it.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe Dr. Pepper can be like, look at me, Noy.
Yes.
I'm going to explain to you how this works. I just, that's my hope, because it seems like when experts talk to her, she listens.
Yeah.
Unlike some of our other people here. So I'm going to stay with my 5 with hopefully more time letting her realize what's going on.
Okay.
Last, but certainly not least.
Yeah, we have Katina and as South Jersey Pete calls him, Olajuwon.
I call him Elijah Zero. I'm not even giving him the one.
That's a good one. Yeah. So we have these two. And they really tried to paint us a better picture of them this week. But then, of course, it just came crashing down because of Olajuwon, per usual. She surprised him with breakfast, which, you know, he's supposed to be the breakfast guy. If she's cooking everything else, he needs to be cooking the breakfast. But she decided to surprise him, and he woke up and he said, like, look, I was in hibernation. I come out of hibernation when I smell food. So I'm up. You cannot knock Katina for trying. This woman will try.
She's been trying.
Yeah. Like,
several times we got her saying that she cooked him food, and they've only been together 30 days.
Yes.
Like, several times she's mentioned it. It might not be exactly what he wants. Like, it feels like he wants her to, like, just make every single thing from scratch, mm-hmm. from the bare bones ingredients. Like, she can't have any help.
Right.
But, like, she is trying.
Yeah, exactly. So she FaceTimed her friend, Imani, who she's been friends with since she was 10 years old. She was at the wedding, and Katina explains, like, she's been guarded because she doesn't want to be hurt. But now she's starting to feel more comfortable with him. She's opening up to him, and Imani gives her the advice to move with her heart. And Katina confirms, like, they're both attracted to each other. Like, there's without a doubt, they are attracted to each other, but they haven't had sex yet. And she said she'll text Imani. She'll be the first to know. She's like, I'm gonna send you like 1 to 5 stars after it happens. I still think it's a very interesting thing that this is his call to not have sex yet.
It's given 1 star to me when it finally happens.
Cause he doesn't know how to cuddle.
Yeah. That should tell you a lot.
Right. Like, he has gone so just the extreme, because he was Isaac. He was he's been with a mom and a daughter before, but now all of a sudden he doesn't want to do it with his wife.
It just feels like he is so hung up on, like, I'm not who I was. That was old me. That's not me. He's doing this so much that he's taking it to the extreme of, like, I want to have a deep, deep, deep emotional connection with you before we do anything.
Yeah.
Part of me kind of thinks they're still lying, but I don't know.
You think they're lying?
Could be. We've had people boldface lie to us before.
True. Yes.
Could be. I don't know for sure. Could be.
I don't know. I feel like she wouldn't be. I feel like she wouldn't be saying this to a friend if it hadn't happened yet. Like, it could have been just like a, hey, we've already texted about this, so this doesn't need to be a part of the conversation. Let's just leave it out.
But she knows she's on camera. Like,
right. But I'm saying, like, if my best friend is texting me, like, if my best friend is my best friend, right? Uh-huh. And I'm in this marriage and it's happened, I've already told them about it. Well, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm not in a marriage, but so I'm just imagining, like, you tell your friends things, whatever it may be, you've already discussed these things. So if something like Katina's like, I don't want to talk about it on camera, they wouldn't be talking about it.
Let's meet in the middle. I'm going to say they didn't have sex, but some of the stuff may be going on.
Okay. Let's say that. That could be it. She had that good conversation with her friend. I thought it was interesting that, you know, I guess it was it not Mark and Lindsay? Wasn't there another couple that each person talked to a friend?
This episode?
Yeah, well, maybe it was just one, because we had like Steve, and then we had.
Steve talked to his brother, and Noi talked to her friend.
Right. And so, like, I thought it was interesting. Olajuwon didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, Jasmina didn't talk to anybody this episode.
True. Okay.
And so it wasn't Lindsay this episode.
Yes. Okay. So they celebrate their 1 month. They get the basket in their apartment, and they got the plaque with their vows. They got the cake, and Olajuwon is like, it better be carrot cake. Cuts in it right then. Oh, yeah. Okay. Whew. It's carrot cake.
Thank goodness.
But, like, if it was anything like Mike and Jasmina's, it was labeled. So I'm like, did it not say carrot cake on the box? Or you just had to cut into it at this moment? So we find out, like, so all the husbands plan the date for their wife. But with these two, Katina planned the date. She wanted to surprise him because she would rather do something she wants to do.
This I kind of believed. This I didn't think was like a production setup.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do believe that she wanted to out of the kindness of her heart. But I also believe that it would have been a great time for her to see if he knew, if he really knew her. Because I don't feel like he does. I feel like he's playing this role as husband. He's trying to make sure all his needs are met. And this could be any woman in front of him. And he would be doing the same thing.
It's so weirdly been that way the whole season. Mm-hmm. Like, she has to earn his approval and love, but it doesn't seem like he has to earn hers.
Yes. Like, what is that?
Oh, so weird.
It's so, no, I thought this would be the perfect example for him to prove that he's been listening to her. He knows her better than he did on the wedding day. But no, she planned it. He's been saying he wants to travel, so she set up a date on a gondola. But this man is saying gondola.
They both said it wrong.
They both said, no, they're literally sitting on it. And Katina tells him, yeah, it's gondola. I said, y'all are not about to trick me into thinking that this is pronounced like gondola. I said, I know. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not gondola. But I looked, I did the Google pronunciation.
It's, I was yelling at the screen, it's gondola. Yes. Not freaking gondola. And she said it to him, and he said it right back to her in that way. She's like, no, gondola. He's like, gondola? Yeah. He said, no, gondola. Maybe it's a Boston accent.
Maybe. I was like, why? They had the blind leading the blind. I don't know. But the man that was rowing the boat didn't, or steering the gondola did not correct them. So maybe.
Trying to make a weird joke about it.
Right. Exactly. So they ride on this because she did it while she was out in Italy. And he says, like, he really likes that she found a way to mix, like, her turn up world with his relaxed world. And,
is Isaac a relaxed guy? Isaac seems like a turn up guy to me.
Yeah, exactly. I have this Olajuwon is the relaxed guy. This is new him. So he sees their he thinks that they're at like a 8.59 right now. So
up and down. So just
so up and down. He was so, just at a 3 the other day.
Yeah.
So they go back home and she said, like, he really adds to her joy. He tells her, like, look, the man sitting on this couch is a great man because his wife calls out his errors.
I was like, do not ever call yourself a great man. Like, no one should ever call themselves a great man. That's how you know you're not a great man.
Right. You mean you didn't tell your wife earlier today that you were a great man?
Baby, you are so lucky that you got a great man. I am such a great man. Those words have never come out of my mouth.
You're like, how do you even put those words together? He's just trying to convince himself.
Yeah.
He says he enjoys our cooking. It might not be the best, but it's he enjoys it. He enjoys that, like, she's working on it. And I would have been like, boy, I am not cooking another meal for you. Can you stop? No. Why do you have to anytime someone is criticizing your cooking, there's no way it makes you want to cook more.
Nope.
But in some odd situation, in this situation, she wants to.
But it feels it feels like what we've seen from her is like she takes it as like I better get better at cooking. He said he doesn't like my cooking. Instead of like being offended and be like, well, F you, bro, cook all your meals yourself.
Right. You do it. You do it. So this is the moment. Like, he's like, okay, I wouldn't change anything about you. Look, I'm feeling you now. There's a difference between liking you and feeling you. And I'm feeling you right now.
I am feeling you. Oh my gosh.
Like, good Lord.
Such an idiot.
Oh yeah, so it's probably a couple more steps before he could say, like, he's falling in love.
That's like we're going steady now.
Like, right.
Exclusive. I'm feeling you. So we're going to go exclusive.
Don't get crazy. I'm just feeling you. I'm not falling in love. Love's not on the table. Remember,
not I told you. Not on the table at all.
But I'm feeling you. I was like, oh my God. And then he like gave her some clothes to wear to sleep. And said she looked like a basketball player. He always wanted an athletic woman.
Gosh. So. But going back to the feeling you. What? So as a woman, what is the reaction if someone says this to you?
I feel like if you approach, so I guess this is obviously different in this situation, but like if you're approaching me to like you're interested, you're already feeling me. Like,
yeah.
But if we're like, I don't feel like that would have made her feel any type of way. It probably did make her feel some type of way. But if it's like, okay, yeah, you like me. I know that. Like, I don't see it as any
but you're not different. Taking it as a compliment. You're not taking it as something serious that he's saying.
Right. Like not, oh, we're on the next level because you're feeling me. No, that's just another way to say that you like me.
Yeah. So weird.
I don't know. I wouldn't think anything more of it, but I think in this context, she's thinking, okay, Olajuwon is on the next level. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah, he's saying it like it's supposed to take us to another level. Like, yes. It's just, oh my gosh.
We're closer to a yes on decision day.
If you're lucky, I'll say yes to you on decision day.
Right. Then she says like, oh, I like in the confessional, she's like, I just loved like, whoa, not love. I really like.
That's so childish.
Being my husband. Yeah.
Like, I can't say that L word.
Can't say the word.
Yeah, I say the other one.
Right. But whatever. My main takeaway for them was how he didn't do anything for their 1 month. I understand that it was her treating him, but do you think he should have at least given her a gift?
Yeah, I gotta think something is that we didn't see. I don't think that no one didn't give anyone a gift. Because we saw like Lindsay didn't give Mark a gift from what we saw. Jasmine didn't give Mike anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just gotta think of something that we just didn't see.
I hope. At least so.
I that's my hope.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So you ready to jump into the dinner?
Oh boy. Yeah. Let's get into it.
So like before the dinner, so all the couples got together for dinner to just talk about their 1 month. Before the dinner, Katina and Olajuwon are there. Katina's like, I'm a little bored, so I want the tea. Like, what y'all up to? It's like,
if only she knew what was coming.
If only she knew. That was a little foreshadowing. So they take this like big party van over and they're taking pictures, they're drinking, they're all on the van. And we find out that from after party that they were serving non-alcoholic drinks. But the girls are like, no, this is our 1 month. We need to be like having a good time. And Lindsay was like, I got, you know, I have something up in my
I got alcohol in my house. Let me go get it. I'll be right back. I've already had some, but you know, you guys are
like, yeah, I wouldn't doubt she pregame for the dinner date. So then they did get some alcohol. And so we find out that like,
so I did not follow this on After Party like at all.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Olajuwon doesn't like it when people have, or doesn't like it when people don't drink or only have one drink.
No, he doesn't like it when people have more than one drink. So okay. Like he's a one drink kind of guy, right? If sure. People are trying to like drink more,
like
apparently,
sure.
It's like if people are trying to have more than one drink. Jasmina said that he's like, okay, what are we doing? Like, obviously we're turning up more than normal. So what are we doing? So he doesn't like for people to go more than one, which is, okay. That's just odd.
Yeah. I didn't follow that. I was like, what does that really even mean?
Right. Right. So then like they're at dinner and we're kind of going to bounce back and forth between a few of the couples. So they have the moment with Mark and Lindsay where like she's like rubbing his face as she's talking to him. He's like, I'm not a 2-year-old. Like, yeah. Don't do that.
And Jasmine even calls out. She's like, he gets like a reaction when he touches the back of his head. He's like, yeah, like, I'm not a 2-year-old. And yeah. She's like, well, like she does the hand just like it kind of is.
Right.
Everybody laughs at them.
Yeah. She's like, I don't think he likes when you do that. He's rubbing his face.
He doesn't care.
Rubbing the back of his head. So that was funny. So we clearly see like the fact that there's some type of mix up. And I guess to stay on topic with them, she tells like Mark feels like what they need leading up to decision day is they just need to stay on the same page, or they need to get on the same page. And Lindsay feels like she's been getting backlash with Mark, or whiplash with Mark, because he's been so up and down, and she feels like he's all over the place.
Is that true though? I feel like he's been pretty like,
no, it's her perspective.
Yeah, he's been pretty like reasonable and has told her like, don't embarrass me in public. Like,
yeah,
that's his biggest thing.
Remember, she just feels like he doesn't know what, there's so much going on in his life. He just doesn't know how to handle it.
His life is in such chaos.
It's just chaos. He doesn't know what to do. He's just little Mark, little Marky Mark.
That's cute little innocent Mark.
Right. Did Lindsay and Mark say anything else?
I don't think so. Okay. Nothing of note. Right. Lindsay will interrupt and talk to Elijah one
multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before them, Noy and Steve, they confirm, like, Noy's like, I am in love with him. I love him and I like him.
So, yeah. She's like, I like you. I love you. And I'm in love with you.
Yeah. So she's feeling him.
Feeling him. I'm really feeling you, Steve.
Right. And so,
and we find out she's really feeling him, like literally.
Yeah. And Lindsay's like, love is a big word. And Noy's like, okay, like we've consummated our marriage. Lindsay like asked, like, okay, how was it?
And of course,
like, Lindsay, good Lord.
That's Lindsay's thing.
Just too much. And so let's see. With Jasmina and Mike, Jasmina says like she didn't expect it to be easy, but she didn't expect it to be hard.
Yeah.
Like day two.
And we kind of get the same thing we've gotten from them, you know, all episode. Like they've been on different pages, but they weren't on the same page, and treat every day like decision day.
But she does say she can't see herself saying yes on decision day if she doesn't have those romantic feelings. And I think that's the key, because romantic feelings, like for her to say next episode I have no feelings for him, that means it almost feels like she just has no feelings whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, she does have like, or I guess platonic feelings would be a bad thing too, because that means that she's like friend zone the man. Yeah. But yeah, she just does not see him in a romantic way right now. But I feel like she did at the beginning. It just kind of went away.
Yeah, I think the spark just kind of went out.
Yeah.
And the excitement of seeing him and getting to know him for like that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had their issues, and that really, she just feels like somebody that her physical attraction relies on her emotional feelings towards someone. Like, it's not just about, oh, you look good, so I want to jump your bones. I have to, like, emotionally, like she's been saying, emotionally and mentally be there with you before we go there to find attractive.
And that probably goes back to those long distance relationships she's had. Like, she's had to communicate a lot, so she developed those emotional connections probably even before she was taking trips to visit the person.
For someone that has had to communicate a lot, you'd think she'd be better at it.
True. The men that she was dealing with probably weren't great at it either.
Probably.
So she thought she was fine. Yeah. If she's better, then she's like, it's okay. So then, like, Katina and Olajuwon are doing, they seem like they're doing fine. And Katina's like, starts to say, like, you know, like, it's all about consistency. And she obviously is just chiming in because she wants to share their relationship. And Olajuwon's like, look, I feel like we had great chemistry. Like, we've had great chemistry, but I question if it's marriage chemistry or friendship chemistry. Like, I go off what I see.
And she looks at him like, what?
Right. Like, where is that? Talking about whiplash. Like, what are you talking about? I feel like we were great. What do you, like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, after he says that, everybody they just pan to everybody like, what? Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is awkward silence. Like, oh boy.
Yes. And he's like, I noticed something on my way here that made me question if this marriage is even real.
Oh boy. And you would just think there was like, I don't know, some like sex tape from a day ago with some other guy on her phone, the way he's talking.
From
like,
a day ago.
It's just like, what is happening? Like, what is so bad? Now, unfortunately, And I kind of wish they stopped doing this and stopped tempting me. They do like do these stupid little previews on like Tuesday. So I didn't know what it was beforehand.
Oh, yeah. On Twitter.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It would just make you think it was something way, way worse.
Right. Because he tells us in the confessional, like, yeah, I was browsing through Katina's phone and I found something I didn't like. And so he asked her at the table. He's like, you want me to bring it up? And she's like, no, I prefer we talk about it separately because I have no idea what you're talking about.
But then later he's like, you know, I don't want to embarrass her in front of everybody on camera because it's going to make her look bad. Like, that's what you just said you were going to do.
You already did it. Like, it's like he poured the water out and then like on the table and he's like trying to get it back in the cup. He's like, no, what's done is done. You did that.
Yeah, this is all you, my guy.
Right. So everybody is confused. Jasmine is like, look, this is something clearly that needs to be handled privately. It's just made the dinner awkward at this point. Katina's confused. He was like,
you can see the best friend coming out in Jasmine. And she was like, don't play my girl.
Right. Exactly. And he says, like, look, I just wanted to address it so that she knows her husband is not fine. And as my wife, it shouldn't even be a conversation.
He's like, just rambling at this point.
Yes.
Like, he's just saying a whole bunch of nothing. Like, just words strung together that mean absolutely nothing.
Just blank air. And so, like, she's just like, look, okay, I'm ready to go. And obviously they have to all ride back together. They came in this van. So like when they're about to walk out, he puts out his arm, like, she's like, no.
Well, let's back up for a minute. I want to get to the Lindsay part of it.
Oh yes.
Oh my God. And like Lindsay, of course, having to put her nose in every single thing.
Everything.
You know, Katina saw him. Well, he says a stupid thing about, you know, I need to be honest with you and I need to be honest with myself. And Katina's like, well, how is this being honest? I bring this up in public. Well, it have to do with you being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. So Lindsay butts in and says, you know, she hears, you know, Olajuwon, me and you are just alike. You know, I get you. But what she's saying is like, you know, I know that you're ride or die for this B, but this B is like, I don't ever know what happened. And I thought we were on the same page. Like, Lindsay, why are you? Why?
I know Mark was wanting to come out of his skin at that moment.
Totally. I Mark's probably like, please, I hope Katina does not react to this.
Right.
Like, especially that you just called her a B.
Yes. Like, she couldn't even react.
Katina was so shell shocked by this thing. She's like, I'll be with you later. I'll be with you another time. I got something else going on right now.
Right. This is way too much. I want to address you. We not cool like that. You over here calling me that. But I am shocked by what just happened. So you will be dealt with later.
Yeah.
This
idiot puts his arm out like,
yes.
Like, you want to link arms? Like, no, I don't want to link arms with you after this. What is wrong with you? Yeah. And she's like, just go. Just move.
Yes. Just move. Just like, what is wrong? Like, okay, if anybody out there watched The Bachelor, I know there's plenty to discuss this season, but when Clayton told Gabby, after breaking up with them, Clayton Gabby is done with them at this point, and he's like, Gabby, can I walk you out? And she looked at him in disgust and was like, no. Like, not after what you just did. Literally, that I was reminded of that moment. Like, obviously it wasn't as dramatic as breaking up with her, but you just called me out in front of a group of people, totally unwarranted, totally just like, just, you was so ambiguous. She, at this moment, she has no idea what he's talking about.
None.
So they go back home and he's like, let me see your phone real quick. And she pulls it up. And he swipes. He's like, why do you have that?
But you know what's so interesting before this? Like, before he comes into the room, he's on his phone. He's like messing around with his phone. I was like, is he checking his phone to make sure he doesn't have anything weird before he like approaches
her
like,
out.
Yeah. Let me make sure all my stuff's off my phone before I come at her about her phone.
Right. So yeah, he's like, why do you have that? She's like, I forgot that was even there. So basically she has a dating app on her phone. She's been on her phone for a couple of years. She didn't realize it was still there and she just hadn't deleted it. And so he's like, you are married. He said it's like spitting in his face. He's yelling at her. He's like, you're a stranger. I deleted everything that would have made you question who I was. And you're going to do this.
So here's like that. That's a big statement to make. It's like, okay, because you are Isaac, 2D, Facebook, Crook, whatever, you have so much nonsense that you had to get rid of because that is you.
Right.
Like, you are that messed up.
Yeah.
Katina is not that person.
Yes.
She does not have to think to herself, let me get rid of all incriminating evidence before I get married to this man, because if he finds out that I'm this way, it's going to be over. No, she had this stupid app on her phone that she probably downloaded. She said she never made an account for it.
Or she didn't have an account anymore.
Right, maybe that. But like, for whatever reason, it was still on there. Like, I hope Elijah want to look at my wife's phone. My wife has like 6 pages of apps. That she just does not use, used once and never used them again from 8 years ago. But like, it's crazy because like, I got rid of all the stuff that would make you question me as a man. Let me see.
Let's turn this around. What did you have to get rid of?
Let me see this stuff so I know who I'm dealing with, since we're all about being honest.
Exactly.
So you got rid of all your incriminating evidence.
Right.
Well, maybe we should take a look at that.
Right. It's so frustrating because in all his confessionals, he's like, you don't need to be on Married at First Swipe if you're swiping on dating apps for yourself. First of all, she never said, you don't have any proof that she was actually on the dating app. Like, no proof at all. He's automatically assuming she has the app, so she's using it. You use every single app that's on your phone? Obviously not. Like,
and this is not a Ryan from last season situation.
Yes.
It was proven that he was he had used it at least once, because he matched with one of her friends. This is not that situation. So we're not being, you know, unfair to one or the other. It's a different situation. So like, that was a situation where he was, you know, he knew the marriage was over. He was he was starting to get back out there. This is a dormant app on a phone. It wasn't like she had an open window in it or something. It was just a dormant app on her phone.
Literally. Literally the approach would have been, whoa, Katina, what is that? Why do you have that on your phone? She would have been like, oh, shoot. I totally didn't even realize. Like, I have so many apps on my phone. I did not realize. Deletes it right then and there. Problem solved. But it's his whole did they talk about it? Yeah, I think they talked about it on the after party. Was just like, he is starting to, he's feeling her, right? So he's having these stronger feelings than just casually liking her. And now he's looking for anything to be like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have trusted her.
Yeah, it's just this, like you said, this was like oh my gosh, why do you have that on there? Like, totally forgot. Let me delete it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been it.
Yeah. So she starts yelling back. He's like, why are you yelling? Or like, why are you crying or being frustrated? She's like, I'm yelling because you're yelling at me. He's like, then we don't need to talk. We don't need to talk. And then he tells production, look, the night shoot is over. We're done. She's like, get this mic off of me. And
you see the real Katina.
Yeah. Before you see the real Katina. So this is where that episode ends. I know. And it doesn't look any better next week when we get the next time on. She's crying.
Yeah, it looks like she's still wearing the same clothes. So my thought is like, did she like meet up with Jasmina maybe to talk about it? Interesting tidbit from After Party is that Mike apparently knew about it.
Yeah,
I guess in the time from like when he found it, he talked to Mike about it.
Right.
And so like Jasmine was like, yeah, me and Mike got into a little argument about it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess each one of them is trying to defend their friend.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, Mike had to like calm Jasmine down because Mike knew what the situation was. But my guess is the next time on is like maybe they meet up, since they're in the same apartment complex, they meet up somewhere and talk about it.
Yeah, it's just like, how do you come back from all of these just like these situations where he's showing you who he really is? Like, y'all can make up from it, but how do you move forward?
But this feels like this isn't the first time something like this has happened, because she's mentioned, you know, a few times where she's had to be patient with him. He has gotten frustrated. He has lashed out. I think that's even the word that she used.
Yeah.
When they were doing like the housewarming and she was talking to his friend. So it wouldn't surprise me if this isn't even the first time this has got to this level.
Yeah, it just was on tape this time.
This is completely unacceptable.
Yes.
From any person, not even a man or woman, to yell at your significant other like this for pretty much anything, especially for something this small and insignificant.
Right. That
can be so easily explained away.
Literally, all he had to do was say, okay, the wall to build trust, open it. Like, if he really wanted to see if she's active, open it. Don't delete it right away. Open it. If she opens it, there's no, it says create an account. Mm-hmm. Then she has no account. Or if you open it and it's like, okay, maybe she has an active profile. Her profile is paused and the latest messages are from a year ago. Question is answered.
Yeah. Check the amount of time that the phone has used that app. If you got like an iPhone, you can do that.
Right. Like if you, it just, the approach was awful.
Just the worst. Like, it's completely unacceptable. And he needs to get professional help for that.
Yeah.
And I hope that they like, cause this, his level of anger, I was scared for her. Like, this isn't good at all. Like, this could lead to something a lot worse.
Which also just shows me that he has no awareness to what she shared with him. Like, she's told you she has dealt with people who are verbally abusive, and you're not even being sensitive to that or saying like, let me take that into consideration because I actually care for her and I don't want her to feel any type of way. Let me approach this in the correct way, especially the fact that he was able to sit on it. If he found out on the way to dinner, he was able to sit on it during dinner. He could have waited until after and not expose their drama to everybody else. It's just,
and it's concerning for a number of levels, but like just his, I don't know if it's impulse control or maybe he's got some other mental problems. Cause you know, Katina was like, you know, we went from like literally kissing at the table, at the dinner table, to now this. So that to me, like, also sparks other things.
Yeah.
You know, that could be wrong.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not a therapist or it's like psychologist or psycho, whatever, but
that
strikes me as alarming.
Right. Yes, exactly. So anyway, that was them. Do you have what are you rating them?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like this is not the first time this has happened. And I feel like within the next episode, things will go back to status quo with them. That's just I feel. I don't feel that it should be that way.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what's going to happen. So where was I last week? 4?
You were at, I think we were both at the same rate. No, we were both at a 3.
At 3. Okay. I'm fine staying there right now.
Yeah. I would say if Katina wasn't being so forgiving, I would go down to a 2. But she's not, I mean, we saw in the after party, she's wearing a charm bracelet that he got her.
The way that she talks about him and the fact that she still has the charm bracelet.
Yeah, and on there.
Because there is no reason for her to have that charm bracelet if they're not still together. I can understand them making them wear the wedding rings if they're not married, because that's continuity with the show. But we didn't know anything about this bracelet before.
Right. This. They're not going to say, oh, bring the charm bracelet so it looks like y'all are together.
So that's what it makes me think that they'll probably say yes to stay together. But I'm going to take it. I'm going to leave it at 3 for now.
Okay. Same. I'm at a 3. Well, that's it. That's the episode. Anything else about any of these couples?
No, I think I'm ready to call it a day on this episode. So next week, during the episode, they advertise that next week is going to be more of a look ahead with a panel that they're going to be previewing some scenes from what's to come. So it looks like it's not going to be a normal episode for next week. So
it's going to be the journey ahead.
Yeah, it's called the journey ahead. Kevin Frazier is going to host a panel of different people talking about the relationships, and we're going to get some sneak peeks at what is to come. So we have decided that next week we're actually going to take the week off, since there's not an actual real episode with a plot to talk about. We'll still watch the episode, and if anything pertinent comes up, we will talk about the next week.
Right. Yeah, we'll do that. And we will. So we'll be returning on March 31st. We have an awesome guest coming. Sarah Carradine is coming back. She's going to talk to us about episode. I guess it'll be episode 12. We'll see how they try to paint it, because they may consider this an episode. But yeah.
Yeah, that's where we are. So
enjoy your break next week.
Yeah.
So, Jason, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. I recently started a project over on Post Show Recaps. We are recapping a show called Winning Time on HBO Max, all about the Lakers dynasty starting in the 80s. You can also catch me this week talking about Australian Survivor over on Silent Podcast with Jason Orich. Yes, another Jason. So you can catch me there this week. And anything else that I have coming up, you can catch it over on my Twitter profile. I will blast it out there.
Nice. And y'all can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Most recently, I was on the Survivor B&B with Mike Bloom, Liana, and Mary Kwiatkowski. We had a fun time talking about the premiere episode of Survivor. And then I also joined Taryn on the Survivor Stock Watch to talk about episode 2 that came on this week. I also joined Taryn on the Big Brother Canada Wednesday night veto comp recap. So we did like a bite-sized episode recap, since we were competing with the Survivor Know-It-Alls that's over on Rob Has a Podcast. There is some more Love is Blind content coming your way. So just subscribe to our feed so you can get all the Married at First Sight content and Love is Blind. If you want to know anything else that's coming up, follow me on Twitter and I'll post it there. All right, you guys, thank you for sticking with us, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.